making our way through Colossians, and God is blessing us as we go. He has a good plan. We've been talking about the order that God shows us in His creation. He has an order to the church. He shows us in Colossians chapter 3 the things that we are to not to do, so we have the do nots. And then He shows us the things that we are to do, so we have the do's. And then He talks about family, and family has an order to it as well. Amen. You see, whenever we find God's order and then we place ourselves in the right respective role, that's when we can really excel with God and just accept the place that He has given us. We're in Colossians chapter 3 right now, and we'll be looking at verses 22 through chapter 4:1. And so He has an order in all things. And so He also, therefore, has an order for the way that we do our work from day to day as well. Do I get an amen to that? You see, this part deals with masters and servants or slaves. And so a lot of times we think, well, we don't have slavery anymore, so I guess this just doesn't apply to us anymore. So we kind of throw this part out because we feel like it lacks connection with our life or application in our life. But if you understand what the word for servant here is, or slave, it's talking about one who owes a debt, and so they have to work it off. And whenever we begin to bring it into that light, do any of us ever owe a debt that we have to work to be able to make our payments on things? All right, then it does seem like this would kind of fit our lives to some degree. And so we're going to try to take from it the application that work in our particular situation. Also talks to masters, and that word master also speaks of an owner, one who owns and has people working for them. So that definitely can apply as well. But before we get into that, we want to think about what it's like if there's nobody to lead. Have you ever seen a situation where there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians, so to speak? You know, like you've got everybody thinking that they're just going to do their own thing and there's not really anybody submitting to anybody else's leadership. What happens? You have chaos, right? And has anybody ever been in chaos before? Sometimes we are in the state of chaos, right? But I want to read a little story to you here. It's kind of interesting. It's actually one of Aesop's fables, and there's some wisdom to be learned from this, and we're going to kind of spin out of that into our reading for the from the Word today. And so this one is about a man, a boy, and a donkey. And what it has to do with is thinking about not knowing clearly who it is that we need to please, okay? So I want you to kind of keep that thought in mind. A man and his son were once going with their donkey to market. As they were walking along by its side, a countryman passed them and said, "You fools, what is a donkey for but to ride upon?" So the man put the boy on the donkey, and they went on their way. But soon they passed a group of men, one of whom said, "See the lazy youngster? He lets his father walk while he rides." Do you see what's happening? Each person has a different point of view. All right? And so the man ordered his boy to get off and got on himself. And they hadn't gone far before they passed two women, one of whom said to the other, "Shame on that lazy lout to let his poor little son trudge along." Well, the man didn't know what to do, but at last he took this boy up before him on the donkey. By this time, they had come to the town, and passers-by began to jeer and point at them. The man stopped and asked what they were scoffing at. The men said, "Aren't you ashamed of yourself for overloading that poor donkey of yours with your hulking son?" And the man and the boy got off and tried to think what to do. They thought and they thought till at last they cut down a pole, tied the donkey's feet to it, and raised the pole and the donkey to their shoulders. They went along amid the laughter of all who met them till they came to the market bridge, when the donkey, getting one of his feet loose, kicked out, caused the boy to drop his end of the pole. In the struggle, the donkey fell over the bridge, and his forefeet being tied together, he drowned. "That will teach you," said an old man who had followed them. "Please all, and you'll please none." You know, I think this kind of tells us that sometimes, guys, we really need to know who's our boss. Who's the one that really we should be concerned about pleasing in life? And even whenever it comes to the workplace, have you ever seen a worker that doesn't seem to know who their boss is or who has authority? Guys, this bleeds off into all areas of life, even into families. And what I dare say, we see this happening in Christianity all the time. If we see people, like we showed last week, what a Christian family looks like, and that the families are really what makes up the church family, and we bring families who understand the structure and submit to the structure that God puts in the family, they come together to make up the family of God, then we understand the structure, and like the family of God works right then, because the families are working right. And a lot of times we try to cure the symptoms rather than the problem. Well, we see in our country that we have a really bad problem knowing how to serve our boss as well. You know, and we have all kinds of ways of trying to get around it. We have all kinds of different attitudes about who the boss really is. It's caused us to have all kinds of rebellion. And now, I'm not even going to get political, but now we're getting to the point where people don't even really want to work, and they just want to be given a check even without working. It's a very unbiblical response. In fact, work is good, and I want you to know, work didn't come after the curse. Do I get an amen to that? They were left in the garden, even before the curse, to tend to the garden. Work was a good thing. It's the fact that work is toilsome now because of the curse that now we have some of the problems that we have. And so we have a lot of different ways to try to cure the symptoms of the problems, but really we just need to follow the Bible. And if we'll follow the Bible, I'll just tell you, guys, and hopefully I'll get a big amen on this. When you follow the Bible, it works. You see, it works in all areas of our life. It makes our family structured properly. It makes the church structured properly. And it'll even make the workforce structured properly. I can tell you, when revival hits the land and great awakenings have hit in the past, it's been amazing to see how it's transformed every area of life. I don't think that this country needs socialism to fix their problems. What this country needs is for us to turn to Jesus to fix our problems. Amen? And so as we do that, I think that we will see an amazing thing happen, even in the workforce, because as we look at verse 22, Colossians chapter 3, I want everybody to stand for the reading of God's Word, if we can, if you're able. If you're able. This personally identifies ourselves with the Word of God and shows respect, I believe. So let us read. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. He continues on, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant and all, and in it with thanksgiving. So let me pray for us right now. Dear Father, we continue just vigilantly in prayer, Lord. And as we prayerfully seek to understand the Scripture and apply it to our lives, I pray you would give us wisdom today. In Jesus' name, amen. And y'all can have a seat as we begin to break down this Scripture. So we see here that the word bondservant again means one who owes a debt, and he's paying off his debt. So in the strictest sense of the word, it could even possibly be someone working off the debt to the individual that they actually owe to. And in that particular way, they might even have to live with the individual for a little while. And so that's where we get the idea of slave or doulos, is the actual Greek word for that. And so oftentimes this is said to be an area where the Bible is promoting slavery. And I want you to understand something. The Bible is not promoting slavery here. The Bible is promoting you doing the right day's work for the right pay. And you being the kind of master that someone will feel like they're being treated fairly by, or the kind of boss that someone's feeling like that they're treated fair. Okay? And so as we look, this whole chapter 3 has been a way of us to understand what a godly Christian life looks like. As we move on to that next slide, a Christian individual in the body of Christ was what our first sermon was about in chapter 3. And so what does it look like just to be a Christian among the body of Christ? And it shows us this, in a Christian family unit in the body of Christ. And today we're going to see what it looks like to be a Christian in the workforce. Now, I want you to know something, guys. We need to be a witness in every area of life. Do I get an amen to this? Every area of life. I knew someone at one point who worked in the automobile manufacturing industry. They used to scab parts off out of the different areas of the factory, okay? And they had a lunchbox, but they really didn't carry a lunch in it. They had a thermos, but it really didn't have the inside of the thermos bottle in there. And what it was just the plastic liner. And the reason why they had a plastic liner in the lunchbox was so that they could put car parts in there and get them out of the gate without getting caught by the guards, okay? And this individual, if you had asked them at any point in time, are you a Christian? They'd have said, oh, absolutely. But I want you to know something, guys. People are watching everything we do. And it matters. Even what we do when we think nobody's looking. Okay, number one, I want you to remember, God's always looking. Do I get an amen to that? But number two, sometimes other people are looking too. Okay, do I get an amen to that? And sometimes we don't realize those other people are looking. All right? And so I'm going to embarrass one of the gentlemen that's in our congregation here today, Brother Bill Rogers. He worked at Chrysler, an automobile manufacturer. He actually worked there at the same time the other individual I'm talking about that I'm not going to name. But I'm going to go ahead and name Brother Bill, because Brother Bill used to do a Bible study. And whenever Brother Bill was doing a Bible study, there was a gentleman who used to go watch Brother Bill because he thought they were sneaking off to do something wrong. Okay? And so during their break time, Brother Bill, and I may not get all the details perfect in this, but this individual walked up to me at a gas station one time, and he flagged me off to the side, and he said, your name's John Jones, isn't it? And I said, yeah. And I didn't know him, and he introduced himself, and he said, do you pastor Cadet Baptist Church? And I said, yeah, actually I do. I've only been down here a couple years. This has been a while back. And he goes, well, he said, Brother Bill Rogers goes there, right? And I said, yeah, absolutely. And he said, well, I want to tell you something about Bill. Yeah, everybody's ears always perk up when somebody says that, but I knew it was going to be something good. But here's what he said. He said, you know, I used to watch him go off with some other guys at work, and I was a guard. And he said, I would have sworn to you that they were going off to play cards or gamble or something like that on their break time, so I would sneak around and listen and watch what they were doing. And he said, before you knew it, I realized he was for real. Yeah, he had said he was a Christian, but I was watching his behavior. He was leading these guys in Bible study, and as I listened, before you knew it, I began to read the Bible too. And do you know, I gave my life to Christ because Brother Bill's Bible study. Amen. I mean, that is a strong statement, guys. I want you to understand how you behave at work is huge. People are going to get saved, possibly, because of the way you behave at work. And I'll tell you, something they're going to look for is to see, what do you do when the boss ain't watching? Do I get an amen to that? All right, so every one of us is an example here. So bondservant, let's make a couple of quick definitions. Bondservant, one who works to pay off a debt. And, I mean, we're all in that situation. My electric bill comes every month. Whether I decide to work or not work, right? Whether or not I get paid or not, that electric bill is going to show up. If I don't pay it, they're going to turn my electric off. So I owe them a debt. I use the electric, I got to pay for it. All right, so we all fit into this category. An employee would be one to obey the request of the boss, okay? So that would be in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22, bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. So how do we need to obey our boss, or that one who would be defined as a master here? Everything that the boss wants, guys. Who's the boss? Who signs the paycheck? It's them. If you feel like they're telling you to do something you shouldn't do, then you may have to go find another boss. We have that freedom, praise God, in America. Okay? Don't stay if they're making you do things that are sinful, but you can go find another boss. You find a boss that you feel like you can obey them. You should obey what they say. You know, I've been around some other people, and, they're not going to tell me what to do. Well, they're signing your paycheck. You remember the boy and his dad? They didn't know who they should listen to, and before you knew it, they had done killed their poor little donkey. You see, that's what happens to a lot of people. They don't want to obey, or they want to obey everybody else but the boss, or whatever. There has to be structure set up so we know clearly who we are supposed to listen to, and then we should do it. And if we do it, we can, and I know you guys already get this. I know, I see out there, and I know that you guys are commended for the good jobs that you do. So I want to affirm you today to keep doing a good job for the one that you're working for, right? Because it matters. You know, I see some of you get honored by your jobs for your good service. I see many of you are making a great example out there. Keep it up and obey the boss according to the flesh in all areas that they ask you to. Okay, second part, obey even when they can't see. Do I get an amen to that? Guys, you when your boss gives you a task, you should be able to be trusted to be able to finish that task even when they're not looking. Amen? There's nothing worse than seeing a crew or an individual who, as soon as the boss turns and they think they're out of eyesight, they just sit down and don't do anything. And then they wait for the boss, you know, and they can hear his footsteps coming back. Oh boy, they jump up and look like that they're starting to work again. What does that say about our relationship with Christ if that's the way we're acting? Because there is somebody watching, and especially God is watching all the time. Not just whenever they're looking as a men pleaser, but instead we need to obey from the heart. The next one, obey from the heart. You see, bond servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart. Why? Because you fear the Lord. Do it in the fear of the Lord. You see, you need to obey like you're working for God Himself. Do I get an amen on that? You see, I used to do work for people and doing home improvements, even on the inside of their houses, and they would give me the key to their house. And I might be there doing a job, might take me a week, it might take me 2 weeks, it might take me 3 weeks, it might take me, sometimes I was on big jobs, it would take me months. I had the key to their home the whole time. They had to be able to trust me whenever they weren't looking. And I can tell you, for those who were brothers and sisters in the faith, they took great pleasure in knowing that I was a Christian because they knew I wasn't just answering to them, I was answering to a higher authority. In fact, one time I had a gentleman who, he sold lockers. He was a locker salesman to schools. And he would give perks to the school representative to try to win the bid to supply these big schools with lockers. And so I came to give him a bid on a really big job on his house, and I figured it up, and I gave him the best price I could give him. In fact, it was way lower than what I probably should have been doing it for, but I knew his family, and I tried to really treat him fairly. And so he commenced to try to talk me down. Man, this guy was really working hard. It was like he wasn't going to be satisfied until he talked me down on the price. And so he continued to and continued to try to beat me down, and finally he just looked at me and he goes, Are you not going to try to make, you know, do anything as a perk to me to make me want to hire you? And I said, well, no offense, but ultimately I don't just work for you. I work for God, and I've already given you the best possible price that I could give. And he said, that's really an interesting thought. And I said, it's really better for you if I work for God because I'll do a better job for you too. Because you see, I work for a higher master, and he wants to bless you to be able to have me work on your house, and he wants to bless me through you because you're going to help me pay my bills. But I can guarantee you I'm giving you the best price, and I'm going to give you the best job I can. And it seemed kind of puzzling to him. He wasn't a believer, and later on we went on to talk about it, and I know that at least his wife came very closer to the Lord during that time. Later on they moved out of the state, and I didn't get to see him anymore, but I did still continue to stay in contact with the family. But I can tell you, when your boss has you working as unto the Lord, he's going to have the best employee he could ever imagine having. It's going to be way better than what he could get if you were only trying to please him. You see, we want to work like we're working for God, and then we also want to work for a reward. Guys, you know what? You're working for a heavenly reward. it's bigger than just a monthly or a weekly paycheck or however your monthly bills. You see, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Do I get an amen? As you serve God, then yeah, you get your paycheck. You're going to pay your bills. But here's the deal. You're also saving up rewards in heaven as well. And now I'm not talking about prideful rewards, you know, like you're going to get there and it's going to be a trophy for you. I'm saying that everything you do is under the praise and glory of God. And if anybody gets saved and ends up in heaven because they saw your good behavior and it helped them to realize, hey, this Christianity thing, maybe there's something to that. You know what, guys? That's going to be a forever reward. And so we'll get to share forever on how we served. And so we want to remember that there's also a consequence for doing wrong. There's also a consequence for doing wrong. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done. And there is no partiality. Yeah, sometimes, you know, we use a tool called collective bargaining to try to make the boss, you know, provide what we feel like that they should in things. And it isn't necessarily a totally, you know, horrible concept. But I want you to know with God, there's not going to be any collective bargaining, okay? It doesn't matter how many people agree with you. He still has the standard. And he still knows our hearts. And he knows if we've been stealing from our boss, or if we've been shaving time, or if we've been adding time to our timesheets, or whatever. You see, guys, there's going to be a consequence when we do wrong, and there isn't any partiality. And if you're the boss in the house, you know, you may be somebody who's been a boss. I don't know. I'm sure we probably have some leaders here. And, you know, I want us to understand that for the boss, he has a boss too, or she has a boss too. Do I get an amen? You see, we're all working for the same boss, actually, ultimately. And so there's also a consequence on that side of the equation, but there's a reminder in Colossians 4:1. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Guys, here's the deal. We need to make sure we all have a heavenly, and understand that we have a heavenly master. It doesn't matter if you're the boss or the bondservant. We're all going to answer to Christ. Do I get an amen? And do you see how we don't just need the government to force people to be right and true and good and steal from them so we can give to somebody else? What we really need is for the message of Jesus Christ to cover our land. And you see, guys, he solves the whole deal. He reminds the master, hey, you know what? You're not really the master, I am. Amen. He reminds the bondservant, even if your master doesn't see, I do. And if we're all serving him, then you know what? Both the worker and the boss can have fellowship as we work alongside of each other. You know, bosses, don't be hard to work for, and pay them what they are worth, because we are all working for that same master. Guys, who is the master? God. Our master is Jesus. Do you know Lord means master? You see, when we start thinking about that, he needs to be like the one who we are working for all the time. And if we're working for him all the time, guys, here's the deal. You're going to be the best person in church that you can be, right? Because we learned at the beginning of this chapter that it was about structure of the church. You're going to be the best husband or wife that you can be. You're going to be the best child that you can be to your parents. And you're going to be the best employee that you could ever be. You're going to be the best boss, if you're chosen to do that, that you could ever be. Because, guys, you're going to be serving Christ. Just remember who enlisted you to this thing. You know, all these different words about submission and all that, these are all like military terms. Okay? They have to do with like military rank and order. And it's important for us to understand that. And it kind of made me think about what it says in 2 Timothy. Paul wrote this as well by aid of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. He says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So some might say, well, that could be a little hard work for my boss. You don't understand. Well, it can be really hard to be the boss. You don't understand. I do understand that even when we're in hardship, we need to continue to endure like a good soldier. Because you see, guys, there's a whole war going on out there, and it's being fought over souls, and Jesus has enlisted us, because he goes on in verse 4 to say, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. So who's your commanding officer out there, folks? Let it be Jesus. And I can tell you, Jesus is God. If God's your commanding officer, then he will guide your steps, and you will be the best in every area of society that you can be. Some of us are trying to cure symptoms. Really, what we need to do is get to the root of the problem. Do you know Jesus? Are you living for Jesus? And that's something we probably need to evaluate each and every day of our life. How am I doing it, living for Jesus? And then we just need to continually submit ourselves to him. Let me pray for you. Dear Father, we know that your word actually covers every area of life, and it applies to us today. So I pray that as we have learned today what kind of employee we should be, what kind of a boss we should be, knowing that ultimately we are all under you. Lord, help us to serve the living Christ. Problem with our world is sin. The problem with our world is there's too few people that are following Jesus. So the solution for our world really is the proclamation of the gospel. Part of the way we proclaim it is by saying, speaking, and the other part is by living it. And so help us, Lord, whether we're at home, whether we're in the church, whether we're at work on Monday morning or whenever, Lord, that we would be a good example of what a Christian looks like. Help us to remember we serve the living Christ. Amen. And Lord, there may be people right here in our own congregation this morning that have not submitted their hearts to Jesus unto salvation yet. We offer up this last part of the service for anyone who may want to give their heart to Jesus. There are people who can counsel them and pray with them to start that relationship. We may have others that just want to join the church. We may have some more that want to join the church and be baptized. Maybe they haven't been baptized as a believer yet. We open up this time of the service for them to come forward, Lord, and give their hearts fully to you in every area of their life. There may be some that just want to come up and pray for a relative, or even pray for a struggle that they're having, a moral issue or a physical issue or whatever. Today, let us submit to you at the foot of the cross, and you are the answer to our problems. In Jesus' name.